Standing tall against a multinational corporate agenda. The Rick Smith Show.
Walker is Mubarak, Madison, Cairo, fascism track, next stop Ohio. Trying to kill labor, that's their jihad, huh? What's gonna happen when the people all rise up? Sad thing is, so if we all labor, what you expect to hear? Billionaires on the papers.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Takes me back to 2011. And like I was saying in the last segment, there's this, I wish there were video, and I hope there's video out there, because it's this iconic moment when the firefighters came into the Capitol in Wisconsin with the bagpipes blaring and the place packed. It's just an amazing moment. And that's when I first met my next guest there in Wisconsin. And now, he's going from the head of the Firefighters Union to running for governors, and hopefully we can oust Scott Walker. That's why I've asked Malin Mitchell to come on. He's a Democratic candidate for governor there in Wisconsin. Malin, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. Good to be with you again.
Any chance there's video of that somewhere? That I haven't really looked that hard for it, but, it's been years, but I still remember the energy of that moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of videos on YouTube, actually. That 2011 when we were exempt from all the, as you said, the changes with the collective bargaining law being changed, which was Act 10 in our state. We were exempt, and we came in with our bagpipes and our flags, and now they call it solidarity. Back then, we just called it the right thing to do.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, even though you were exempt from it, the leadership skills, the vision that you had, to get involved in that and to move forward, I think, it's another one of those moments why we need people with vision, people with understanding, and, people with courage.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a one-man show. I mean, it was a combined effort with all my members. I had to talk with my executive board and make sure that we were all good to go. But it wasn't once I talked to my exec board, and our members around the state, it was an easy decision to make that we, even though we're exempt, we had to stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters. And we continue to do it and fight back to this day, and that's why I'm running for governor, man.
It's important that I think we get working voices, working class voices in the halls of power, especially, I look at Wisconsin and I look at, you've got Randy Bryce, who evidently, Ryan's not running. So there's a really good chance that he or, Kathy Myers takes that seat. You see a Democrat, ousting, that Paul Ryan seat. The messaging out of taking someone like Walker out this election cycle to me would just be so enormous.
Yeah, it would be quite frankly the shot heard around the world, right? I mean, this is where labor was initially first attacked back in 2011, where we have a state that where AFSCME was started. We had one of the first, if not the first, comprehensive collective bargaining laws in the country, and all that was gone with a fell swoop of a pen of a what was called a budget repair bill that had nothing to do with repairing a budget, or had nothing to do with finance. It had everything to do with a governor who wanted to weaken, in this case, try to cripple his political opponent. And he's done exactly what he said he was going to do, and that is try to divide and conquer our state. And he's done that, unfortunately. But I think, and I'm hoping, and I'm praying, and I'm working to make sure and hoping that people realize that, the gig is up, that this governor cares about himself and his own political ambitions, not about this great state that we live in. So I'm running because we have 9 people in the race. We have a very crowded primary, which creates its own unique challenges. But I'm the only candidate that actually, when I take off my turnout coat, and I still actually respond to fire. And when I take off my turnout coat, I actually go and work on behalf of working people and working families for their hours, wages, working conditions. So I'm the only candidate that has a proven track record of actually standing up and working my ass off for working people, and then also fighting the good fight when it's time to do so.
Good on you. And it's one of the reasons that I think you make such a good candidate, because, it's that selflessness that you hear from coming from your voice, this idea that we need to move working people forward. And so I guess the question I have is, what kind of response are you getting from folks as you're knocking on doors and doing events? I know you got a big rally coming up on Monday. What kind of messaging are you getting from people?
We're getting a great message, a great response. I actually just got endorsed by the AFL-CIO 2.5 weeks ago. We got endorsed by AFSCME, got endorsed by the Steel Workers a week ago. SCIU, UFCW, and operating engineers who actually endorsed Scott Walker the last three times. So they've come over. Those are the men and women who help build roads. So we are building, and I get endorsed by Congresswoman Gwen Moore. So, you know, a lot of people will say, well, of course labor's behind Malin Mitchell because he comes from the House of Labor. Well, no, because our state very rarely has all labor on the same page when it comes to a statewide candidate. So we're seeing that now, and we're still got some a couple of unions to go. But unions represent people, as you know, and your listeners know, unions represent people. So we're getting a wide, broad coalition of people to back our campaign. I just actually left the machinist union who endorsed as well. I just left a machinist lodge meeting, went over about an hour and a half away, then went to UFCW union meeting as well. So we are galvanized, we're mobilized, we're energized. I just opened an office in the city of Milwaukee, north side of Milwaukee. We have an office in Madison, which is the capital city here in our state. So we're doing well fundraising. We're actually getting out and talking to people. I'm going back to old school campaigning where I'm not just sitting in a room dialing for dollars. I mean, we have to do that, but I'm actually getting out and talking to people, and the response has been great. And we have a mantra in our state called all hands working, or in our state, we have a mantra in the fire service called all hands working. It means that everyone on location, they're doing something to make it right, to help their community at the fire scene. So we need that same type of mentality in our state. And that's what I'm bringing to the state. Firefighters, we leave no one behind. So I'm going to make sure every person in every corner of this state has a fair shot of living that American dream. Because what the hell is the American dream if not everyone gets a chance to actually live it? And we have a low-wage governor here. We have low wages here in our state. And we need, the state of Wisconsin needs a raise. And I'm running hard to make sure that we can get that done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, you listen to the Walker rhetoric, and I was there in 11, and I followed, you know, Wisconsin, the downfall, if you will, of your state because of the bad policies that they've enacted. And it was all about they were going to create 250,000 jobs, wages were going to go up, it was going to be this conservative paradise. But when you look at the reality and you look at the numbers, you guys have really been suffering. I mean, the downward trends are really scary.
They are. We have, you know, our governor goes around touting our 2.8% unemployment rate, which is low, but relatively by metric, the state of Wisconsin has a low unemployment rate. But what's a low unemployment rate when people are working two or three jobs just to make ends meet? When people have to go to a fish fry on Friday and wonder how they're going to pay for it on Monday. And then, I mean, low wages affect a lot. They affect education. They affect But what we have this achievement gap we talk about in our state. We have a school-to-prison pipeline. All that comes from not having strong communities. And that comes from people not being able to actually be at home, take care of their families, get their kids to bed, get their kids ready for school, get their kids to do their homework, get their kids from staying on the street corner, staying outside, and not doing what they're supposed to be doing in their homes. All that comes, and that's a byproduct of having a low-wage economy and not having strong communities.
I absolutely agree. But here's my problem. And, you know, all during the Obama years, as the unemployment rate was going on, all I heard were conservatives screaming about, participation rates. And yet here, while we have this 3.8% unemployment nationwide, the participation rate keeps going down. So, you know, you can't really have a 3.8% unemployment rate when you're almost at historic lows with the participation rate that, you know, all during the Obama years, conservatives reminded us about, yet I don't hear them talking about it now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's hypocrisy in its greatest form. But our state is really, really struggling. I mean, we are we're number two in as far as infrastructure and roads. We have our roads suck. We have the second worst roads in the country. But if you listen to, you know, Governor Walker talk, he paints a rosy picture. But I'll tell you this, Rick. I don't go around just talking about what's wrong with Scott Walker. I go around and talk about what my message is and what my vision is for the future of this state. And the future of this state can be great. And our future can be bright. But we need a governor who actually can lead the charge and actually help people and put people over politics.
What's the number one thing you do? What's the first thing you do?
First thing you do is raise wages. I've come out before it was sexy. I've come out for a $15 an hour minimum wage years ago. Before everyone was talking about it, I mean, obviously, Bernie Sanders led a charge in that. I was actually a Bernie Sanders delegate at the 2016 convention, but we have to raise wages. And when we raise wages, that's going to stimulate our economy. We have over, I think, 1.1 million or so people that make under $15 an hour. And studies have shown that those people are making at least $15 an hour. That's another $10 billion in purchasing power that can go back into our economy. That's going to lift us all up. And then, you know, I even have some of my members say, well, I don't know if someone should pay $15 an hour by doing this non-skilled labor. Well, I tell them, I said, you guys, we have to realize that when people at the lower end are making more money, which is the right thing to do, but when they're making more money, then we all rise. And all wages will go up. And
that, you're going to bump along the schedule.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. And the other part of it is then they have disposable income. And this is the thing that, again, you know, I love my conservative friends who, you know, want to cut spending down to the bone. I'm going, but if you cut, then, you know, there's no economic activity. There's no job creation. Small businesses are going to be crushed. You know, by having a stimulative effect of higher wages, you actually create a growing economy. And the other thing I would love to see, you know, you said you've got horrible roads. You know, a major infrastructure plan, pay people decent wages, do it under a project labor agreement, move us forward as you forward as a state, us as a country, and have that reverberation effect of that infrastructure spending throughout your state. You guys could lead the nation if you just had the right policies.
Yeah, we could lead the nation in startups. We could lead the nation in renewable energy focus. We could lead the nation in a lot of things. We actually have. Yeah, we could lead the nation in education. You look at what happened just in Michigan. I think today they passed, they repealed a prevailing wage. And we did that in our state. And what you get there is shoddy work. You get out-of-town contractors coming in, fly-by-night contractors coming in, doing crappy work and going back home. But we need to keep jobs here in the state. We need to raise wages in our state. We have 300,000 people that have no health care whatsoever, 300,000 Wisconsinites. That's another thing I would do is go back and actually accept the Medicaid expansion, the federal dollars, because that would have put another 84,000 people would have had health care coverage. So there's a lot of work to be done here, but you know what, Rick? We can't do any of it. Can't do anything unless we win.
There you go. And the hope is that people will check out your website, MalinMitchell.com. We'll shoot out a link to that so people can take a look at it and throw you a couple of bucks, because at the end of the day, these campaigns do come down to money, and I know the Bernie Sanders $27 model could work because I look at someone like Walker. He's got the billionaires. He's got the Koch brothers on speed dial, I'm sure. So a little help your way would probably be a good thing, right?
Yeah, that would be great. And, you know, Walker's going to be well-resourced. He's going to have a lot of money, and he's their poster child for getting rid of unions. And, you know, he always says unions, you know, are not necessary. But I always ask the question, if unions are not necessary or not needed, why are billionaires spending millions of dollars to get rid of them?
Yep.
There's a reason for that. And, yeah, if you go to my website, MalinMitchell.com, check us out on Twitter, at Malin Mitchell, and also Facebook, Malin Mitchell, the same. So I'd love to hear from your folks. And check us out. We need help here, but we're going to get the job done.
Yeah, the hope is that you when is your primary, by the way?
August 14th.
So we got a little time to help you out, make sure that you're the candidate, and then into November to throw the bum out, right?
That's right. We got to. You know, I want to send Scott Walker back to that private sector. He loves so much.
Yep.
Let's send him. He can get a job in corporate America or lobby or whatever. It's time for a change, and it's time for us to turn the page on this governor and get back to a government that represents people. And take care of all our citizens of our state.
And moving the state of Wisconsin forward, which I guess used to be your motto until Scott Walker took you backward.
Yeah, and we used to be a progressive state, a state that actually looked to lead as opposed to, like you said, cut these austerity measures. All we are is a state now that's lagging behind, really, in every sense of every metric that you look at when it comes to an economy.
Sad stuff. Malin, I wish you nothing but the best. I appreciate you taking some time and sharing your thoughts. Keep up the fight. Keep up the great work. And I'd love to talk to you again here in the near future.
All right. We're having a rally on Monday. You got to be able to come out?
I would love to. I always love coming to Wisconsin.
Well, next time you're here, let me know. I'll buy you a beer. I'll buy you a spotted cow.
There we go. Good stuff. Thanks so much, Malin.
All right.
Good stuff. Again, the website, MalinMitchell.com. We'll get links out to make sure that everyone can take a look at it. And if you got the $27, maybe throw Malin a donation. These guys need it. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.